welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I just want to remind you guys that if I'm not mistaken, excuse me for my lack of knowledge in this area and field of ministry, I believe it's Relationship Week coming up sometime soon. Eh? The joys of possessing a precious. You don't need to worry about Relationship Week anymore. Guys, next week, Sunday evening, we have Pastor Werner Joubert from Secunda. He's going to be with us and he's going to be sharing on relationships. So all of you qualify, which is no mathematician here, barring one or two older faces, 99.5% of you. Next week would be good to be here and hear what the Lord has to say about relationships. Huh? Relationship Week has changed many lives. There's a lot of testimonies in church around that. Relationship Week changed my life as well. It didn't necessarily equip me to meet my wife, but it offered me the opportunity 1 year to share on a topic called 30 and single. That was reality for me, 30 and single. And it's a reality for some of you sitting here as well. Embrace it, yeah? Embrace it. The Lord can work with you even if you're walking solo. Amen. Amen. Guys, you know what, Nim? I'm just going to... You guys know I'm not very formal, so work with me here. You know what? The Lord's so faithful. He offered me this opportunity in the first service. He offered me this opportunity again just to stand at the back there and to take a good look at everyone in this church. Now, I didn't see any faces at the back. The lights are off, and I'm looking into your mooi rug and opgelichte arms and stuff like that. But you know the beauty of bringing God's word to people is when you say to him, God, show me who I'm speaking to. He's extremely faithful. You know, even looking at your backs and just looking at the way you worship and that outflow of expression and the dance and all of those things. You know, we have a phenomenal amount of diversity within this house. And this is not ethnic. It's got nothing to do with race or social standing or anything of the sort. This is pure, clean diversity. And it testifies of the greatness of our God. It testifies of who and what God is, because we serve a diverse God. We serve a God of the nations. Not one is the same. And I just looking at so many of you burst out into dance moves, and I ask myself, would you do that if the light was on? Yeah. But just to see you lose yourself, and I'm just saying to the Lord, show me more. Show me more of these people. Now I'm looking at the faces. I want to tell you that the Lord, again, just shows me the vast amount of talent, the vast amount of influence, the vast amount of uniqueness that exists in this church, and it's beautiful. I want to encourage all of you, continue to be unique, continue to be beautiful, continue to be yourself, because God made you to be who you are, and He looks down upon all of you, man, and He's smiling. He loves it. You are His perfect creation. Eh? He absolutely loves what He sees. And at the same time, I've come to know many of you personally. So I know what you're about. I know what you stand for. I know what you do for a living. And another beauty of this group of young individuals, young professionals, young whatever you are, is that you make it your game to stamp that uniqueness on the world. And that's important. Human credentials is important. You take what you are and what you believe and what you stand for, and you've got a big rubber stamp, and you take it and you smack it onto the world, and you basically say, here I am. come get a bit of me. I've come to know many of you as being such people. And the Lord loves that as well, because he wants you to be what he had set you out to be. But now, as with many things, I have another question for you guys. Human credentials one side. You're more than an artist. You're more than an engineer. You're more than an accountant. You're more than many things that you are in the world. You're a Christian. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. So now I have a question for you. Does your presence stir desire for change in your sphere of influence or your area of involvement? I know that according to your human credentials, you're influential in the world. I know many of you, I know the influence you have and you enforce on the world through what you do, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But now I want to ask you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, does your presence stir change in your area of influence? Your area of influence, your sphere of involvement, is where you find yourself every single day. When you take your big rubber stamp and you put it back into the drawer, you at the core of who you are as a Christian, do you stir change? If so, and I know many of you are trying to answer that question, I can just blatantly see it on the look on your faces. Smile, please. It's really not that hard a question. Yeah? It's not a sword of condemnation that I'm hanging over anyone. I just want you to think. Yeah? I want you to think about who you are, what you're about. Because there's two sides to us. What we are in the world and what we are in the world. Because you're a Christian in society. So as influential as you are, through a vocational paradigm, I need to ask you, how influential are you as a believer? How influential are you in stirring change in this world? And if you're a change stirrer, I've got another question. And here the heart which I ask this is that irrespective of our numerical advantage, and I need to explain this a bit, the Christian faith is at its absolute peak. The church is bigger than what it's ever been. Christianity has got the most followers at this current stage now than what it's ever had. So we've got a numerical advantage. Anyone knows who or what religion has the biggest following? Islam. Ha! It's a foot. Statistically, at the moment, the world believes that the Christian faith still has the biggest following. We're seeing the rise of other religions and big influx into it right now, but at the core of it, statistically, we're still the biggest faith. We're still the biggest religion. Numerically, we got the numbers behind us. Now, with that, at the core of my question, why on earth has the Christian influence in society been so insignificant for so long? If we are numerically the strongest religion, the church is at the strongest that it's ever been, why in this day to day have we got close to zero influence? It's this question that stirs many debates, much investigation. Social media and literature going around us focused on typically something down this lines. Hear my heart, please, guys. The six reasons why people don't come to church, which stirs the next investigation of the six reasons why when people come to church, they don't stay at church. After assessment of that, we find another biblical scholar that comes back with the six reasons why people do actually stay in church. Seriously. It's mochelius. over what works and what doesn't work. Why people come, why they leave, why they come, why they don't stay, why people stay. Oh my word. Oh my word. It's so simple. So simple. One single thing rests at the core of all of this debate. It's the fact that we've created a single divide between the spiritual and the secular. We are guilty of that, my Christian brothers and sisters, me included. We are guilty of creating a divide between the spiritual and the secular, not us alone. Our friends on the other side of the fence, the non-believers, the non-followers of Christ, they're doing exactly the same thing. You see, we're trying to divide two things that absolutely cannot be separated. And when you try to split two things that is not meant to split, it's going to stir all types of thought and all types of debate. And you know what? You can write 37 articles a week about it. You're still not going to come to the answer. Not one of those articles, not one bit of literature out there can give you any solid answer as to why does the church react in the way it does. They give you 6 suggestions. Not one of those things are true and solid and at the core of why the church fluctuates the way it does. Why the church can't find its seating within the world. For a simple reality is we're taking the church and we're removing it from the world. You see, the reality of this division for us as Christians is that the anointing that rests on the modern believer has been confined to this. The four walls of church, which essentially renders us fairly close to ineffective in the world. We've got a hell of an anointing, but that anointing flows here. When we walk out by that door, we leave the anointing here. For a simple reason. We've come to believe that God works in two spheres. God works in the spiritual, and He sleeps when we're in the secular. Come on, we're guilty of that. Someone wanting to disagree with me? I'm not going to stir rebellion in the service. You know you're not allowed to do that anyway, but I want to challenge you on the way you think about it. I don't want you to give me an answer. Go ahead and think about it, and you fight with God about it. You disagree with something I said tonight, you fight with God about it. But I promise you that it's for this simple reason that the church and the Christian faith will never find its seating within the world. Tonight I want to share a passage of Scripture with you, my absolute all-time favorite passage of Scripture. Something that I've come to define as an outward expression of passionate desire, a single, sincere, heartfelt outpouring of Jesus Christ to the Father. Turn with me to John chapter 17. Well, I'll prepare myself. And you can read with me from verse 1. Now, and I just closed my Bible earlier. There's a reason for that. It's not that I don't want to read out of the Word of God. Many of you can see this print here. This is like font 14, font 15. If I don't have that, because the Bible doesn't have that, a Bible with font 15, that's a kiddie's Bible. Huh? So if I don't have that, I can't read it. So please, I am reading the pure Word of God. It's just moved to a bigger form, so that I can see what I'm reading. Great stuff. Work with me. Let's go from verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, and that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do, And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Short break. Do it. You need to get that antifreeze, that coolant stirring, ne? That antifreeze, you must mix it up. Your radiators is going to clog. The only reason why you need to shake the antifreeze, I'm going to read the whole John chapter 17. I need you to hang in here, because this passage of scripture holds a key to doors. It provides a lot of answers. You need to hear Christ's heart. Don't let this long passage of scripture run away with you. Hold in there. All right, you're all good. Let's go for it. I've manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I've given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and I declare that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let us pray for the message before we get going. Father, tonight we thank you for the privilege to climb into your word. Lord Jesus, tonight we ask, show us who you are. Show us your heart. Show us your desire. Show us the heart of the Father. Lord Jesus, we surrender ourselves unto you tonight. May you speak to us. As your word says, your sheep hear your voice, and I speak that over every individual tonight. Your sheep hear your voice. And most of all, Lord, may you be glorified through every word, through every action. May you be glorified through us. This we pray in your mighty name. Amen. My favorite passage of scripture, for a simple reason, this is Jesus' prayer to the Father. And the only time we see a full-length prayer revealed to us. You see, here we have Jesus pouring out his heart. No better place to go and throw yourself down, because it's where Jesus pours out his heart is where we get to eat from what comes out. You see, this outpouring holds a key that will unlock doors. I want to draw from this chapter five pillars of truth. Five. I'm like that Oak on SABC one. What's his name? Dub. That little alien. I think he's on three, and he always used to say, tune into three. Then he's only like two fingers or something stupid. Okay. I need to get my revelation from somewhere, people. I must watch Dub. Right. Lord speaks to me in diverse ways. Bear with me. I'm hiding the fifth one away. It's extremely important. I want to extract from this chapter for you five pillars of truth that will help us abolish this division that exists between Christianity and the world. Church, we've lost a lot of ground in the world. I can tell you one thing. It's time for us to reclaim what's rightfully ours. It's time for us to re-engage and start cementing pillars of truth in this world. Our mandate was never to sling mud at people. Our mandate has always been to hold on to the truth, to ensure that the truth is established in everyone's life so that we can be what God desires us to be. Believer and unbeliever. That's our mandate. We need to come back to a place where we become real with ourselves. Accept and acknowledge faults that we have made. Look at faults that others have made. Don't pick up the mud and throw them with it. Embrace the fact that we all have faults, but let's work towards the common cause. You see, emotional motivation is not enough for this. It's easy to stand up here and hear the heart with which I said, it's easy to stand up here and stir emotion. Eh? A lot of you know I'm good at doing that. Ek kan 'n ding losruk as ek moet. Stirring emotion in people. The only problem with that it's not motivation through emotion that's going to correct this. It's only one thing, and that's a clear biblical understanding of our mandate. Let's look at what that is. Five pillars of truth. Let's start with God. God is not only a God of the spiritual, He's a God of the secular as well. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the God I speak of now is the God we serve, the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth. That God is not only a God of the spiritual, He's a God of the secular. Let's go back to the beginning. Day one, He created, and He said, and it is good. Day two, He created, and He said, and it is good. Day three, He created, and He said, and it is good. Day four, He created, and He said. Day five, guess what He said? Day six, anyone? This is the God that created heaven and earth. Everything you see around you. And when He's finished with it, He looks at it and He says, it is good. I can promise you one thing. This same God, who is still upstairs, still looks down over everything He created within the 6 days, and He looks at Himself and He reckons, it's good. Even today. Do you know I know that? Because if he had to look down and he had to see something that isn't good, he would have removed it. He's done it before, didn't he? You remember that oak with the ark, 2 in 2, Noah? Something happened there, ne? God still had an old VHS cassette and he decided, I'm going to rewind it because something's not right. So I'm going to stop it and I'm going to start over. God rewinded nothing. Which means that he looks down at what he created and he still says that it is good. Now I want to say to you, church, there is nothing in this world that cannot be declared good if it's sanctified to the purposes of God. Simple. Everything around you, created by God, he loves it. He looks over this church and, oh, he dances. It's good. He looks outside and he made a start where things are not so good. According to us, he looks at it. He says it's good. We need to realize that. Sometimes we think God looks at us and is all yay, and he looks at other things and is nay. No, God looks at everything and he's happy with everything. In the same breath, I want to say to you that this God is the God of his covenant people as well as God of the nations. Now, I had a few people challenge me on this one. They took me to the Old Testament and they said, yeah, but they referred to God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What's up with that? Because that's very exclusive. Fair enough. I prayed for that person that the Lord would reveal to them a true understanding of what's happening in Scripture at that time. You see, we want to base what we believe is fact on what we believe. Yet our understanding is not always as accurate as we would like it to be. So we want to call our misperception truth. God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because that was a good way to identify God in the midst of all the other mampara gods that people had created. People had created false gods. So when you speak of God, who are you speaking of? So there was a way of referring to the one true God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Does that mean that God only contended for them? Does that mean that God was only a God of Israel? Hell no! God desired to be the God of Egypt. He desired to be the God of Canaan. He desired to be the God of everyone. He created them. He's their God. God is not only the God of his covenant people. He's a God of the nations. Our God is not only a God of justification. Our God is a God of justice. You know, justification is our God is all into people knowing Christ, having their slate wiped clean, getting a brand new start. Our God's all into that. At the same time, our God's a righteous judge. Who's into justice, he's into fairness, he's into things that is right or wrong, irrespective of the situation, irrespective of the person that's being influenced. I know that because I was an unbeliever for the greater part of my life. Someone who persecuted the church, someone who hated you goody-two-shoes people. Throughout my mundane, sad, distorted life that I lived, I still experience the justice of God. If I look back at it now, I can tell you that God fights for what's right, no matter what. That's at the heart of God. If God was not a God of justice, I most likely would not have been here today. He fought for what he believes to be right. No matter who the person is fighting for, no matter what the situation. Sometimes, church, we just need to redirect our thinking. Think out of the box. Because God cannot be put in a box. You see, this division has been created from our ability to box God into this. But now I want to show you that through Scripture, God doesn't do division. God does everything. Let's look at the next pillar, man. This is an interesting one. Even though we are in a fallen state, let me qualify my statement here. Believers, that includes you, ne? That includes you. Because Scripture says that when we see Him, we will become like Him. Which means that up to that time, we are working to achieve a form of righteousness and a form of holiness. Sorry to burst anyone's bubble. You ain't righteous and you ain't holy. You will be that when you see Him. Until that time, you're working towards it. Nothing wrong with that. Here's just the realization that until that time, you're still going to have sinful tendencies in you. If someone really disagrees with me, please come and lay hands on me after the service, because I amen to the fact that Colin is a son of God with sinful tendencies. Not ashamed to say that. I'm in a fallen state. I'm going to be until Jesus comes back. Hey, we had this earthquake in the week. To dink julle almal die Here kom. Ay, genade. Seriously, people, come on. Hear my heart, ne? Asseblief, your Facebook posts, ne? Asseblief. It's like a little earth tremor and it's the second coming. Hier gaat ons. Yes, I love Christians. Yo, you are so optimistic. We are so eager to see the Lord come back for us. We are just, as we go to China, earthquakes every day van die Here gaat kom. Alright. Guys, even though we're in a fallen state, which includes you and includes the individual that has not yet met Christ, the reality of that is that all of us have been created in His image. So you know what that means? Is that no matter who or what you are, no matter who or what your standing is with Christ, you as an individual, you've been shaped and formed in your mother's womb according to His likeness, tasked with a mandate and a purpose to be fulfilled, to bring Him glory. Do you believe that? Do you believe that every single person that walks this earth was shaped and formed in the image of God? And everyone has a mandate to be fulfilled that's according to His purposes. Everyone. No one's excluded. No one's excluded. You see, sometimes we forget the remnant that was offered to Jesus Christ. That little portion that remained behind that would stir the Christian revival, that would stir the modern church. We tend to forget that those people came from the human race. Eh? They weren't angelic hosts sent down. They came from the human race. Which reiterates my point that everyone, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on in your life, you are part of God's plan A. Some of us have accepted our place. Some of us will still come there. But everyone's there. Now, you know what that means for us as believers? Is that church, we don't serve people for what we can achieve and what we can get. We serve people for the simple reason of whose they are. We don't serve to feel good about ourselves. We don't serve anyone for any other reason than the fact that you are serving God's child. No matter what that person looks like. Another harsh reality that at times we need to come to terms with. It's nice to serve the visible God's children because we're in agreement. Someone's going to quote Amos to me. I can two walk together unless they're in agreement. Alles is mooi. Come on. It's God's children. No matter who or where they are. We serve them for that reason. For no other reason. We serve them because we're serving an almighty creation. The third pillar. This is the shaky one. Eh? This is the one that was hit by the earthquake. This pillar is called the church. Even though we are not of this world, we are in this world. Now let me again qualify my statement. of not being of this world. Because sometimes when we hear that we are not of this world, we believe that we are seated in heavenly places upon a throne of grace that sets us aside from everyone else. We are not of this world. Oh, go fly a kite. Hear the heart with which I say this. We are not of this world simply means that we are not governed by the statutes of this world. We have a different belief structure. We are governed by the statutes of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are governed by the statutes of God. That's what sets us aside from the world when we say we're not of the world. It's for that reason. That does not mean that we have arrived at our New Jerusalem seated somewhere that we are excluded from the rest of everyone else. Yet, we have been set apart and sanctified for exclusive use by God. But in reality, you're in the world. Where do you think this church is? Pretoria? Forms part of the world, if you ask me. We're in the world. You see, now I want to say to you that as with any other secular organization that is driven by core ideology, by a set of values, by a mission statement, and by a vision that they strive to achieve in this world, so are we. We have the same thing. We look like any other secular organization. Believe it or not. The only difference is our mandate looks a little bit different. Our mandate is to serve and preserve society without becoming part of the decadence of this day. That is the mandate of the church. You see, this is where it gets sticky. Church, eh? It's always sticky here. It's most mense in die kerk. The church is people. People sticky. What's brown and sticky? A stick. People sticky. I'm brown, and if I'm sticky, then I'm a stick. All right? So, I just need to get you all smiling because you people are like seriously intense now. As you're going for my so. Okay. The church is the only organization that exists for its non-members. You get that one, yeah? The church is the only organization. I should do stand-up comedy as well and make some money. I don't draw a salary from the church. I need to earn money somewhere. Stand-up comedy is my game. The church is the only organization that exists for its non-members, which means that we cannot fall prey to the unbalanced social gospel. Oh, my word, now I'm throwing you here with terms. The unbalanced social gospel, you know what that is? It is a glorified holy huddle. That's what that is. If we exist to serve the community, if we exist to preserve society, if we exist to fulfill our biblical mandate, how can we fall prey to the holy idol syndrome? You know, I remember when I stayed in Centurion. Never knew the Lord at that time. Centurion's not a good place for you if you don't know the Lord. Firken. Oh, Granada. Jokes aside now. I used to drive past a church often. Kerksone Mira. And I used to have a good old chuckle at the stupid name of this church. It's like, who on earth would call a church Kerksone Mira? That's stupid. Oh my word, what a biblical name. Church without walls, that's what it's called. What more would you want to be? You see, I used to tease about something that they understood, something that was biblical. I hope that church is truly a church without walls. At the same time, I hope every church is a church without walls. A church that allows the world in. A church that allows people to taste of what we have, to see what we have, and to become part of what we are. Simple mandate tossed on the church. Yet, one, we don't always succeed at. The fourth pillar of truth is a fuller understanding of the gospel. Now I want to say to you that salvation pertains to more than your private ticket to heaven. Salvation entails the entire human existence. For a simple reason, Christ on the cross was the greatest sacrifice that led to the gift of salvation. That was not for the elect. That gift of salvation is free and it's for everyone. So salvation is more than my ticket to heaven. And we're going to pray that thing out of you later, brother, that cough. And he runs. Oh, guy, don't get scared of me now. No, I'm crazy, but I won't do funny things. Salvation is more than our personal ticket to heaven. We need to come to terms with that. You see, we can't separate salvation from the cause and the purpose of the kingdom. Now, this is sometimes where it becomes tricky because a lot of people ask me over time, so what's the kingdom? Define the kingdom for me. You know, Jesus speaks about it, you preach about it, we talk about it, we sing, let your kingdom come, and I'm fry for me, what's the kingdom? But it's fine because I offer a simple answer to that question. I said to this person, let me tell you how the kingdom is built, and then you figure out for yourself what it is. And with bated breath, they looked at me and I said to them, the kingdom is established one life at a time. I said to them, you figure out what the kingdom's about. The kingdom is established one life at a time when people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We cannot separate salvation from the root cause and purpose of the kingdom. Kingdom's founded upon it. That's what the kingdom's about. Often we try to separate Jesus our Savior from Jesus Lord of our lives. This one's quite interesting because this is even true about me sometimes. Yeah? Jesus the Savior is great. He's the one that you come and experience here if you're saved. Yeah? You experience His goodness and His presence and you're amped because it's Jesus the Savior. And when you go out here and you're at home and then you switch off. Ne? Because when you're at home, it was not at church. And Jesus the Savior we experience at church. The only problem with that is when you came to salvation, you should have declared something. Two things, but this one's very important. You should have verbally stated the following. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Yeah? Those of you saved, you remember doing that. Now, when you say, Jesus, you are Lord of my life, what do you think that means? Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Everything. Alles. Zonke. The whole lot. You're Lord of everything. My relationships. My family, my work, you surrendering everything to the Lordship of Christ. So you cannot separate Jesus the Savior from Jesus Lord of your life because that is called Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. You're trying to play games with each other. When Jesus is Lord of your life, He's one over everything. No matter where you are, He's Lord over your life. We cannot separate that two from each other. It's absolutely impossible. Where's the crew with the banjos? You can come up. I'm tired. Band, you can come up. We're at the fifth pillar now. I seriously need to get some energy. I need to exercise. Né? I exercise my spirit a lot. I exercise my body as well. My wife tells me the other day, I said to her, sweetie, come, let's go walk the dog. I need some exercise, so I surrender myself to this. She says to me, my life, did you see yourself preach? I said, it's difficult to see myself preach. She said, well, you get enough exercise there. Clearly not, eh? Maybe I'm meant to run the steps. I don't know. The fifth pillar, the most important one, is a fuller doctrine of Jesus Christ. Before I go there, I want to ask you guys, we read John chapter 17. You can't remember what you read. Do you see what I'm saying to you? Coming out of that passage of scripture. Because what I'm sharing with you now, I never sucked out of a thumb on the third party and tried to connect it with this. You see, everything I'm sharing with you now at some stage through the 26 verses is Jesus' prayer to the Father. A simple prayer, but yet it holds so much value. So much hidden away in something simple. We just need to scratch deep enough and allow the Lord to show things to us. You see, church, the fifth pillar is what it's all about. A fuller understanding of Jesus Christ. Jesus came into this world and identified himself with us for one reason. So that we could identify with the world. Jesus Christ came into this world, identified himself with us, so that we can identify ourselves with the world. That is when Jesus prays to the Father. He says to them, Father, I don't want you to remove them from the world. I want you to protect them from the evil one. But don't remove them. Because as you sent me into the world, now I send them into the world. Simple. Christ comes and identifies with us so that we can identify with what's unknown to him. So now I want to ask you another question. The Jesus from the Bible, the Jesus we serve, the Jesus we preach, the Jesus we praise, the Jesus we glorify, is that the same Jesus that we portray through our actions and through our lives every single day? Because that's what's required of us. You see, the Lord cries out to the Father for something simple. 26 verses from which I can give you 5 fundamental truths, which I can roll back up to a one-liner and say to you that Jesus cries out for 2 things: salvation of the nations and unity. He's not looking for an organizational unity. Jesus is crying out for a spiritual unity through all subsequent generations. You see, through this prayer, we see that the Lord does not fend for one side only. Jesus prays for his disciples. He calls them, those that you, God, have given me out of the world and have come to keep your word. That definition sounds a lot like a believer in modern day to me. So Jesus prays for believers that they will remain true to their cause. You in this world, you've been sanctified, which means set aside for exclusive use by God. And Jesus says, Father, keep them there. That's their duty. He goes on and he prays for another group of people. You need to make the connection. Those that will come to know me through their word. Jesus now prays for unbelievers. People that will still come to know him through the word of those that remains in the world. We see an outpouring of Christ for everyone. There is no division when it comes to God. There is no division when it comes to Christ. There is only one. He fights for the nations. He is Jesus of his covenant people and is Jesus of the nations. And he cries out for the salvation of all. He says, Father, may they be glorified in me, that I may be glorified in them. And when I'm glorified in them, Father, you are glorified. There is no separation. Everyone is after every single heart. He takes this divide that we have created, yeah? And he smacks that thing out of our understanding. When for once as believers, we come to a place where we realize that God is not just for us. God's for everyone. Which means that we can't box the Almighty into these four walls. Because his heart transcends these walls. His heart's for the nations. The Lord says to them, to the Father, Father, make them one as we are one. Make them one as we are one. There is no divide in the heart of God. Take the believer, take the unbeliever, make them one. Something that we will see made manifest through the glorification of people, nations. The Lord cries out for that. He petitions for it. The Lord petitions for it. You know what the beauty of this is? Is Jesus upholds a simple principle. That which is preached must be prayed for because God gives the increase. Now, if this is the Almighty God Himself, humbling Himself to a point where He prays for what He preaches because He knows that God alone can give the increase, then this should stir us to do exactly the same. We will find and take up our rightful place in this world. We learn that we can't look at anyone with a different set of eyes. When you look at someone, no matter who that person is, you need to look at that person through God's eyes. That is our Christian mandate. It's because of this that we fail to keep people in our church. It's for this simple reason that we fail in getting people into our church. It's for this reason that people stay in church. You see, a time has come when we must stop deliberating theory and just become true to the heart of God. Become true to the heart of God. So now, believers, I'm speaking to you tonight. Because you have a simple title. You're a Christian in society. Christ says in here that the world hates them because of the word that they have in them. That's you if you're a believer. You're a Christian in society. Scripture says that from the time of John the Baptist up to now, the kingdom suffers violence. Get used to it. There's going to be resistance against that. It's natural. But you hang in there. You don't let anything steal the truth from you. And it's hard. It's hard to open yourself up in this way, but you hang in there. Because that is what we signed up for. Then tonight I want to speak to those of you that have not yet come to know Christ. Simple. We make it about a lot of things. But Christ's sacrifice on the cross is for you as well. I'm not going to explain to you why. I'm not going to explain to you how. There's people sitting here tonight. All you need to hear is the simple truth. Christ died on the cross for you as well. This country club that we're part of, it's your country club as well. Church, I promise you one thing. There is not one person in the world that holds onto it with dear life and refuse to be pulled away from it for a simple reason. In Jesus' own words, he says, it will steal, it will kill, and it will destroy you. I don't know a single unbeliever that contends with me that he wants to be in the world. He fights with me about everything else, excepting that. Because in reality, everyone is crying out for a piece of what we have. How can we hold them from that? How can we create the divide that those that have not yet tasted Christ is prevented from coming to him? So there's some people here tonight. Simple. Hear my heart when I say that all five pillars I shared tonight is for you as well. That's all you need to hear. Can I ask you to stand with me tonight? You see, the fuller doctrine of Christ is understanding that what Jesus did on the cross was not a... it's not a meal ticket. It's not an entry ticket to the church. What Jesus did on the cross for us is got nothing to do with the relationships and the friendships and the exclusivity and the inclusivity and all of the things that we've made it out to be. The reality of Jesus on the cross is the gift of salvation. The gift that draws us back to our Creator. You see, we need to see salvation for what it is. Salvation is not what you see around you. Salvation is relationship with Jesus Christ. Salvation is relationship with the Father through Jesus that had bridged the gap for you. That is far more precious than anything that the modern church can hold before you. That is far more precious than anything that the world has for you. Because Christ is true to his word. Jesus says that I've come into this world to do a few things. To heal the brokenhearted. Proclaim liberty to the captives. Recovery of sight to those who have been blinded by the world. To set at liberty all who have been oppressed. Now I don't know of one person in the world that does not speak of oppression. Being held down. Life sapped out of them. Jesus Christ says, I've come to remove all of that. All of that. The simple reality is, salvation is for all of us. So tonight, before we close off this service, I want to give an opportunity to anyone here tonight that has not yet tasted the goodness of Christ. Someone that has not experienced that life-transforming encounter with the real Jesus Christ. I want to offer you an opportunity to meet him. And I'm going to play this simple. We're going to cut the crap. This is not about the social media rubbish. This is not about what we can get as a church and what you can get out of it. This is about you being united to the one that created you. The one that shaped and formed you in your mother's womb. The one that will release in you that mandate and that purpose that God had placed there. Can't walk away here tonight without offering that opportunity. Is there anyone here tonight that has not yet experienced the goodness of Christ? Who's being pulled in by this world, who's being drained by the world? Because tonight the King wants to set you free. And I'm going to ask you to be bold, because tonight we're speaking straight with each other. There's anyone here that wants to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and experience His goodness, experience His majesty, and experience His perfection, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And I'm going to ask everyone here not to look around. It's not a show. It's not about anyone here. It's about that individual and Christ. A simple commitment to the King that has the ability to change your life forever. I don't want to drag this as difficult as it is at times. I remember the night when I needed to respond. I nearly didn't. But something was burning inside of me for change. And I knew in the depth of my heart that only this man Jesus that pastor spoke of could offer me that. So I'm going to ask you to be bold. If there's anyone like that, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Ek loer so hier deur my kanse oog, want ek kan nie 'n ding sien nie. If there was anyone, that hands would have been lifted so high anyway, it would have been impossible not for me to see it. So we good. Tonight I'm preaching to the choir. So choir, hear my heart with which I close tonight's message. Nothing fancy. Simple message. It's time for us to take up our rightful place in society as Christians. It's time for us to re-engage this world. Not to take over. This is not the black pearl you're on. You understand what this is about? Do you understand what our Christian mandate is all about? It's not seize the moment and seize everyone that we can. It's not about that. It's about being true to the heart of God. Break this divide that exists. Break it. That we may be all that Christ wants us to be. For too long, church, have we confined ourselves and our power and our anointing to these four walls. I tell you, the rest of the world needs to see it. So that you can offer them the opportunity to make a choice. Are they on board or not yet? We don't make choices for anyone. All we do is we show them truth. So God bless all of you.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is no one